Well, we're there in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue. And I think tonight we'll conclude our mini-series on how to deal with stress. The series has, I don't know if it's helped you, but it has definitely helped me in studying for it and preparing for it and the things that God has reminded me about through His Word and how we as God's people deal with stressful times in our life. And I want to sort of conclude that series tonight, although the message that I've brought are definitely not exhaustive on the subject of stress. But I feel like I've brought some of the points that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Why don't we read there in Philippians chapter 4, a letter to this dear church, and definitely calming their nerves, definitely encouraging them in a stressful time. And of course, we know it's the inspired Word of God for us today. And He says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, let's read it together, church. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that right there was an exhortation from Paul, letting them know that, look, I got something I want you to know to combat the anxiety that you're facing. The nervousness, just I want you to be encouraged during this difficult time of him writing from prison. And he says, he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we know, number one, Paul told them not to do what? Don't worry. Then what did he say? Pray. So he said, don't worry, be anxious for nothing. He said, pray. And then what else did he say? Give thanks, give praise. So we see, worry not. You need to pray, first of all, go to the Lord. And then you need to praise the Lord. And then through that, the peace of God will come upon you. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, and that's sort of where we've been the last couple months, month and a half, is we've been looking at what? The perspective. And we've been looking at that truly matters in life, and how you deal with stress is your perspective on things. And so we're going to conclude our perspective on stress tonight with the Lord's help. And where we're going to go tonight is look with me there in verse number 10, and I'll read through verse 13. Paul goes on to say here, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's pray together. Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving. Lord, we are a blessed people. Father God, we have so much to be thankful for tonight. Number one, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your Spirit tonight who indwells the believers. Lord, we're thankful for the Scriptures. We're thankful for your church. We're thankful for this church. Almighty God, we're thankful that we can worship you tonight and look at your Word. And I pray that you would meet with us. I pray you'd strengthen us. There's no doubt in my mind that the majority of us, if not all of us, have even faced stressful situations this week, maybe even today. Lord, help us to learn this truth as Paul did. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, I'm not real big on talking about secrets. You know, there are people out there that have a secret to this and a secret to that. And especially coming around the new year, oh boy, what are you going to start hearing secrets about? There's a secret to doing what? Losing weight. Who said that? Raise your hand. You get 10 points. There are secrets to everything, and you know what the secret is, really, is just eat less, exercise more, and people are making billions on that right there. They just pretty it up, don't they? They print books, and they print YouTube videos, and they print this and that, and they just make tons of money. Eat less, exercise more. That's the secret. There's secrets in life to different things. Now, what if I told you tonight that there is a secret to combating stress? That God has given us a secret that is not too hard to find, in fact. But Paul found the secret. And we find it right here in the Word of God, where the Scriptures that I've read tonight. I'm going to look at three things tonight, quickly as possible. I'm going to look at Paul's study. I'm going to look at Paul's state. And then I'm going to look at Paul's secret. We see here, first of all, and verse number 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want," because he was referencing the offering that the Philippians desired to give unto him, desired to bless him, but there was an opportunity where they just lacked and they weren't able to give. He wasn't complaining, and that's what he was letting them know. He's like, "Look, church, I'm not complaining. I'm not speaking in respect of want." And he goes on to explain, he's going to clarify that statement. He says, "For I have learned." Now that's his study. And friends, it would do us all good as God's people to study, to know how we ought to respond to stress. Paul was a student. He was a teacher in so many ways. I mean, he wrote a majority of the New Testament, the epistles, most of them, and the things he has taught us. But boy, one thing's evident about the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was an apostle, and he taught and knew the Word of God and gave us the Scriptures in so many of our books in the New Testament, but he was also a student. Paul was a learner, and he studied how he might do better, how he might be better used of the Lord, and he had been in this the school of learning. And boy, we read through the book of Corinthians, and I would say the school of hard knocks too. The things that he faced and the things that he experienced as a missionary, and the things that I actually feel like a big wimp when I look at what Paul went through, and then I think about some of the things I actually complain about, you look at the Apostle Paul's life, and boy, it does bring some humiliation. But the fact of the matter was, he was a student. He studied, and that's something that I'm hoping that as we have studied this subject of stress, that we will be stronger and the stressful times. I pray that our church would be strengthened through these truths and see how what Paul did. But then we see Paul's study, but then we look at Paul's state. He says here that he learned, but look what he says in the very next statement. "In whatsoever state I am." Now that was Paul's state. Now he's going to go through and talk about the different states that he was in. That word "state" there is simply his situations, his circumstances, if you will. He had learned that whatever situation he was in life, and he's going to go and elaborate whether he was catching the blessings, the mountaintops, the blessings just being poured down. You're not getting much resistance. Boy, you just kind of smooth sailing, if you will. He had those situations. But Paul had some difficulties too as well. Those difficulty situations, those awkward situations. And he said that whatsoever state I am, that's the state. But then here's the secret. What's the secret? The secret to combat stress, to deal with stress, is in the next phrase, and then we'll continue the thought in a few minutes. But it says here, therewith, what, church? To be content. Now, the Greek form of this word content, now the English word is used several times in the New Testament, but the Greek form, this is the only time. It was actually the Stoics' favorite, one of their favorite Greek words. You know what it meant? It meant self-sufficient. And they loved that word. It was one of their favorites. But we know, dear Apostle Paul, is not saying here that he has learned to be self-sufficient, because he's going to clarify here in just a moment where he gets his sufficiency. But it's interesting how he says here, I have learned that whatever comes my way in this thing called life, that I have learned to draw sufficiency and to be content where I am in life, and it's going to be according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll clarify that here in just a minute. But we see that Greek word there, I'll explain it how Thayer's explained it. Thayer's Greek lexicon puts it this way: sufficient to oneself, strong enough or processing enough to need no aid or support, independent of external. Now, this is really getting right down to the meat. Get this. It is independent of external circumstances. And that is where Paul is going there. God's bringing him to a place where he is not going to be dependent on the circumstances of his life to find his sufficiency. God has brought this man to the place where Christ is his sufficiency. That is where he draws his strength. And so we see the secret here is being content. Now, it goes deeper than that, though. And he'll explain here. Look what he goes on to say in verse 12. He says, for I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. And I want you to get this, these next three words here. In all things I am instructed. Now, this word right here is a little nugget word in the New Testament. It's used only once, and that's interesting too. And just these two verses here, we got two Greek words that are only used once in the New Testament. This one in verse 12 is used only once, and this is the word mueo, and it simply means, as Thayer's Greek lexicon would put it again, a religious technical term for initiation into a sacred religion. It is the same way we would use for someone to have an initiation rite, an initiation ceremony, being brought into a special group, a special passing because of what he did, and perhaps some information you received. And boy, what an interesting word for Paul to use here when he's trying to tell these Philippians and trying to encourage them in their battles and their struggles. This word here also carries the idea of learning some things that he hadn't learned before. Now, it's interesting too of this word of the verb tense. Now, I will tell you right now, I did not get A's in English, all right? I don't even think I got B's. I was thankful to get some C's. I may have gotten some B's, but I do realize that the three main verb tenses in the English language are past, present, and future. But in Greek, and when I started taking some elementary Greek and Bible college, well, I learned that there were quite a few more verb tenses in the Greek language. One of those I learned was the perfect tense. And that, my friends, is this tense of this verb. that we see in verse number 12. I am instructed. And remember what this verb means, moeo. It means that there was an initiation. The perfect tense simply means this: something that happened in the past for sure. It was appointed time in the past, and it has future definite results. That's not like the present tense that we'll see even in our New Testament. You know, ask and you shall receive. Many verbs that we even saw back in verse 11, the I am. It's the present tense. It's a continual action. There is knowing. There's a present tense. I am continually learning. But this right here, I have instructed, it was this type of tense. Something happened to me in my life. God brought me through, if you will, an initiation. An initiation rite where I just came to the point in my life where I realized a secret. A secret of being content. And it was this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was the secret that God brought Paul through. And it was appointed time in the past that it happened. And how did it happen? It happened through trials. It happened through Paul experiencing the mountaintops. It happened through Paul experiencing the valleys. But he got to a point where God brought him saying, "Listen, Paul, you can't be dependent on either one of those things. Do not be dependent upon being content when things are going great. Do not be dependent upon, oh man, I can't be content because things are going wrong." No. He said, "You be content in Christ." You know what he's saying here, church? He's saying, I've lived enough to know that I can endure anything and any circumstance as long as I have Christ. What a blessing to understand the power of this truth here. You know what it basically comes down. So what is the secret? How can you sum it up? This is the secret. It has two parts. The secret is this. It is the state of contentedness. It is the state of contentedness. No matter what state I am, therewith be content. And he was in the state of contentedness, but it was not just there. It was the state of being contented with Christ and Christ alone. Oh, all that we need is Jesus. Yes, it's a blessing, the other things God brings into our life to encourage us. But may we never draw dependent of finding our contentedness in those circumstances and those things outside of Christ. Boy, the Lord is teaching us something here through the life of the Apostle Paul. It would do us so good in these areas of our life where we're really catching fire or don't understand that all that's going on. Let me make a few statements here in closing. We are tempted, are we not? We are tempted to be contented with circumstances rather than being contented with Christ. That's the temptation. And Paul was saying here, I'm going to accept my current state. Because Christ is enough. And my folks, my dear friends, folks, we are getting ready to go into in the beginning of January, a week of revival meetings, services. And hopefully after tonight, the close of this meeting, I'd like to start bringing some messages in preparation for that. But listen, I want to tell you, I know we got all these definitions of revival, but I believe if you just bring it all down to ground level, to where everybody can take the cookies out of the jar, this is revival right here. It's when God's people find Christ totally sufficient. that is revival. Oh, the temptation to be dependent upon the blessings. You know, even when the blessings and the burdens are bountiful, whether either one are bountiful, we can say, Christ is my all. And Paul lived this as he told them from the prison house, even earlier in the book, saying, for me to live is what? Christ. That was him. Christ was it. It was his all in all. You know, that was the secret. And we can say we have found a secret in the Word of God, because that is the true meaning of that verb right there. It is indeed meaning that Paul found the secret of having contentedness in his heart no matter what was coming. So this week, as the blessings have come, enjoy them. Nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings and celebrate the blessings. Nothing wrong with that at all. We should. God expects us to. And then when the burdens come, we shouldn't, and maybe they're bountiful, maybe they are just seem to be coming one after another, but even in that, we're not going to allow that to take away our contentedness of being content with the Lord Jesus Himself, all that He is, and all His love. That's why Paul told the church in Ephesus, that's a whole other study, he prayed that they might comprehend the depth and the breadth and the width and the height of the love of Christ. Why was he praying that for them? Because he knew that's what they need. They need Christ. And that's exactly what we're going for. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says this, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many initiation rites maybe you have experienced that you've done in your life. They're set up in different ways. They're set up on sports teams and this and that, you know, in colleges with fraternities and sororities and different things. They have these initiation rites, and they had one for the Coast Guard, and one this particular was pretty tough. And it was to be a boarding team member, which I was, a boarding team law enforcement member. We would board the vessels, and we, of course, carried our 9mm. Some of us had an M16. Some of us had the shotgun. But what we also had, which is the preferred weapon, if it was depending on the level of force, we didn't want to go to deadly force immediately. One of the things we were trained for to break down a hostile situation without using your arm, your gun, was to use your pepper spray. And you know, in order to be able on the boarding team and to be able to carry pepper spray, you had to get sprayed. We all dreaded it. What I saw with my eyes, I think I'm scarred with life before it actually happened to me. I was like, I'm going to fail this miserably. I just know it. As I watched my shipmates stand in line and step up, they would pretty much stand from the guy with the pepper spray would be about the distance between me and Ben, and you'd have to just stand there. And what they'd tell you is they would spray. They would say, close your eyes. And, of course, you stood there, you closed your eyes. And, of course, they said, you better close your mouth, too. And you better. You didn't want that stuff in your mouth. But he would let that spray go, that stream of spray, and he'd go for about, I don't know, about 7-8 seconds. And you just hear it, feel it splattering all over your face. And then you'd sit there, they'd tell you to keep your eyes closed. And then they would say, open your eyes. And oh, folks, you feel like the feeling of wanting to die. It was something else. And not only did you have to do that, but then you had to defend yourself. They would have several shipmates come in to try to take your gun. They would pretend that you were in a hostile situation, and basically what you had to do is you had to defend pepper spray running down your face. Your face is on fire, literally. Your eye, you can't see a thing, and you're guarding your weapon, and you finally, they make you go through it for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then they back off and you're done. But then your face is burning for like the next 24 hours. But that's how you get in on the boarding team. And that would allow you to come in if you passed all the other requirements. That was sort of your initiation there into the boarding team member. And folks, I believe this. When it comes to being in a state of contentedness with Christ, God's going to put you through some hard times. Some things that you don't understand. Some things that you don't prefer. Some things, let's just be frank, you did not choose. It's sort of outside of your control, circumstantial things that are going on in your life that you can't get control over, but God's going to put you through those things to teach you and teach me to be content with Christ. And when you come to that point, you can make your verb tense a perfect tense too by saying, God Almighty, from this point on, I determine by your grace, not to be dependent on anybody or any circumstance, but Christ, only you. And I believe the same thing will happen here as Paul did. He says, I've been full, I've been hungry, I've suffered need, I've been in need, but verse 13, praise God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's claim that verse in context. Whatever we're facing, let that be our God.